Leaf stock. Ooh, sharp bucket tonight, buddy. That's a sexy boy. That's a real nicer that you broke out.
I wore it today on the show. When Canada wins a big hockey game, I buy a Canada hat, and I bought a new one for all the Team Canada kind of week, buddy. Mitchie Marner in overtime. We all love him now because he played for Canada. It's go Canada, go. The Tkachuk brothers are going on every show in America talking about how fat an L they took. It's a great time to be a Canadian hockey fan, buddy. It's a great time.
I was going to say, listen, very different, but you think that any Canadians are doing the tour if they finish in second place?
Zero.
Like the guys, they're like going on and doing the old big shows. Like, hey, look at us. Hey, listen, Hagel was right. Some guys do it for the flag. Some guys do it for the camera. Good for USA hockey. You were close. Next time, as you always say, USA hockey, you wait till next time. That's your credo. You might as well get that stitched onto the sweaters. But anyways, Leafs come back and win one. What a weird one to talk about, because they get absolutely dog walked for the first two periods of this hockey game. Like, I thought this was one of their most embarrassing efforts of the season through the first two periods. They get a late goal for Morgan Riley. All of a sudden, they're kind of like in it because their goaltender was the only guy really playing through first two periods. Brilliant through first two. And then Mitch Marner rips one right at the beginning of the third period. And all of a sudden, it's a one goal game. Leafs claw their way back in it and rob one in overtime. What's your big thought from this one?
I really can't believe the Bruins found a way to lose that game to the way the Leafs were playing tonight. I think that stamps home to me how awful the Boston Bruins are for a lot of reasons. Not many teams are going to look great when you're missing your top pairing. McAvoy and Lindholm both out long term, clearly. But that's just a game that the Bruins absolutely cannot lose with where they are in the standings and how they're trying to claw their way back in the playoff picture. They were better than the Leafs for the first two periods, but that wouldn't have been hard for most teams in the NHL, where I thought that the Leafs were just so awful. And, I've sent out this similar tweet for multiple games this season, but I know you don't like when I pick on our old friend Samsonov, but Samsonov and net in that first period, it's 6-0. They scored two, and they easily could have had three more. The end of the period, Stolarz, who was it? Was it Geeky that he robs right at the end? That's as good as the finish is and as exciting as it is, and it's a great win and Marner in overtime. It's just, you absolutely can't come out with that effort in the first period of in a building where it's like, give him credit for rally and all that stuff. But that start is unacceptable. It's a horrible start. Horrible. No,
I think this game is like kind of weird to talk about just because, they were so dreadful. And this was absolutely like a bit of a hammer-em night. I thought that the top two lines, excluding Mitch Marner's play, were dreadful. Like, Matthews didn't have it tonight. I think there's a growing conversation we had about the Nylander-Tavares pairing. Like, they got caved in yet again. I think that they finished a -5 again tonight. Like, just a brutal effort from those guys. But I think that if we're doing story of the game, it didn't really finish this way because Toronto ends up with the comeback, but the story of the game was Stolarz, who let in four goals. They're in this hockey game because of him. You're dead right. I wouldn't even say, you don't have to use Samsonov, buddy. How many goalies in the league is it 5-0 in the first period of that game? Like, a lot of them, half of them. He made 3 10 bell saves in the first period of this game alone. And my prevailing thought coming out of it after two periods was Stolarz should sue these guys for tonight. Yeah. Like, he should absolutely be looking to find legal representation to say, this is not right what you did to me this evening, because I battled my ass off and I don't like the stats that I'm looking at in the score sheet. Yeah, Bruins finished with way more shots, but you're right about the Boston thing, man. Like, this is just how bad seasons get worse, right? They're a point behind the Senators going into this game. They're just outside the playoff picture. Like, there's a gap between them and the top three in the Atlantic.
Yeah,
but they're still very much in it.
Oh yeah,
and there's all these questions about whether they should sell and do they trade Marchand and do they, really, how much do they actually tinker with this roster and to try to retool it? And this is the kind of loss where I know they get a point, but I cannot imagine, even for a team that's had that culture and that self-belief in years past, that those guys aren't in that dressing room right now, just hanging their heads, being like, "What the hell just happened?"
Totally. And, you know, when the third goal went in, who scored the third goal for them to make it 3-0? I actually had the thought of being like, if it was like a traditional backup in there, I actually had the thought of like, get him out of there. Like, they're not doing anything for him tonight. Like, you don't need to sewer this guy's confidence anymore. Like, he's been trying his best. He's, you know, laying it all in there. Like, there's no one that battles harder in the league than Stolarz right now.
Dude, he is such a gamer, eh? Like,
I know. But it's just like, loose
pucks.
Go ahead. No, sorry, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that when there's loose pucks in front of the net, like, he just fights to be able to make sure that he can cover it, smother it, and not give you that extra opportunity. And, like, man, his rebound control was awesome tonight. Like, his cross ice movement was beautiful. I actually thought that the first like couple minutes that he wasn't really tracking it well, that he kind of looked a little scrambly to me. And I went, ooh, this isn't, I'm not used to this. And then pretty much after the first goal went in the net, he was locked completely in. Just a beautiful performance for Stolarz.
Yeah. I mean, it was, you know, it's one of the best goal scorers on planet Earth walking in on a breakaway. You don't have a whole lot of chance. And that perfect shot, low blocker on an unbelievable pass.
His face and Marchand there with a wide open cage. Geeky scores the third one. Same thing where it's a power play goal, wide open net. And then the fourth one is David Pastrnak again, the number one Leaf killer. Gets an ugly turnover by McCabe on his wrong side and just is able to walk one in right in front of the net. So, yeah, I don't know how anyone on earth could be like faulting Stolarz for any of those, especially given that he gave them so many plus saves after. The thing is, though, is like, what? I got a few players of the game tonight. Like, if I'm doing Leafs three stars, I'm giving it to him. This is actually tough. I've got four stars that it should be three. Like, you got to whittle it down to three. So Stolarz, Robertson, Stolarz, Marner.
I think Stolarz, Marner, Robertson, and Riley.
Riley. Those four guys. Yeah. Those four guys competing for the three stars tonight, right? But who would you bump out?
I don't want to be accused of. I don't know. I think we have to do four stars, and I'm not bumping out. I don't want to be that guy who bumps any of them out. Mount Rushmore tonight. The boys, it's a Mount Rushmore night. I don't want to bump Nick Robertson out and be called a hater.
Oh, I actually wouldn't bump Nick Robertson out. Yeah. Like, do you want to do Robertson combo right now? A little Robertson talk?
And Luke says Pontus. You know, Pontus is pretty good tonight, too. Scores a late time goal. He's red hot all of a sudden. Let's do some Robertson talk.
Again,
best Pontus game is a leave for me. Pontus, for Nick Robertson.
Pontus is being an opportunist right now. Yeah. Good for him. Like, he scores that goal. But that play is a Nick Robertson play. Yeah. And I thought that Pontus's line was the worst one of the night. Like, when Berube decided to jumble the lines, I think that it was largely because that second line has been dreadful, and it's been dreadful for a while. And I don't know if you read the article by Jonas Siegel that was out about like the way Tavares has been tracking lately and what the numbers look like, but
don't like him. They're not good. Yeah. He's not good.
The fancies are really not liking John Tavares, and I really don't know how you could have liked his line whatsoever tonight. And I got to tell you too, like, I don't think that this is just a Tavares thing. I think that some of the transition stuff where it ends up in the back of the net, it's like, you know, Nylander, he's what, second in the NHL in goals. He's having a very good season. There's no question about it. But the same stuff that we criticize Max Domi for at times, where it's like, yo, sometimes you just have to put the puck in deep. Sometimes you just have to do the responsible thing defensively and not cheat. And sometimes the cheating bites you in the ass. And I think it's been happening to him more often than not lately. But anyways, Nick Robertson, to me, this is just a guy who's playing with like a completely different level of confidence. And I don't know if like he's trying to showcase himself or he wants to stay. Like, what is that? What exactly is happening here? But there has been a bit of a different bite to his game over the last couple of ones. Like, how many times have you ever seen him go and make that game time goal play where it's like he wins a puck battle, spins off somebody, stays on his feet and finds a guy in front of the net?
Yeah, he's just a guy who's playing with an immense amount of confidence right now.
Yeah.
And like I said before, you were talking a little bit about Pontus there and the Nylander line. I think is his best game as a Leaf. I can't remember him ever being as impactful as he was tonight.
Totally agree.
Not only like he shoots it in the net when he gets his chance, which he's supposed to do and he didn't do for the first half of this season. And then, like you said, the pass. But I just thought like, actually kind of physical and swiping at Swayman, engaging physically with people,
getting into scrums.
Like, he's just a guy that's clearly feeling it. He's feeling himself and he's feeling like he can talk some trash now. He looks like he belongs. He's shooting it in the net. And yeah, like I made the joke on to Nick Robertson legacy game. Like, it's as good as he's ever looked in blue and white. I really can't remember one. Maybe when he scored that overtime winner against Dallas, that's a one big moment or whatever. He's had all his best games against his brother. And his brother, by the way, scored again tonight, apparently. So that's a weird little, I guess Jason scores a lot because he's pretty good. But I just impressed, and I don't know how to feel, you know? Like, I feel like I'm you in preseason. I might be getting tricked here a little bit. Maybe it's different this time. I don't know if now is the perfect time to sell, or like they actually are desperate from this production from the bottom half and they're finally getting it. I don't know which side of the ledger I land on, buddy boy.
Again, I'm struggling. He's played in 137 games. It's really not that much.
No, I know. Oh, we're doing the sell ourselves. Okay. All right. I'm okay with it. We can do it.
Here's the thing, man. Like, it's one of those
things. I promise, I wouldn't do this.
I'm going to do the Biden collector. Here's the deal. A night like tonight is what scares you about trading them. But on the other hand, for me, it's like when I really think about this team in tight check games, that's why tonight it was the big one, is because it wasn't just that he ripped one in the net. People know that when Nick Robertson gets a clean opportunity like the one that he had, he can score it. And ultimately, like, is the expectation that maybe he should have scored more? For sure. But he's been down the lineup. He's been with tough players. He's never really gotten an opportunity to play with like really good guys. He's never been on power play one. So I give him a little bit of grace when it comes to the overall kind of lack of production, even though it's really not that bad for a young guy who, again, plays down the lineup and doesn't get a ton of minutes. Tonight was a bit of a difference. Like, it was just a different feeling. Like, when you saw that player, you went, God, if we saw that version of you, like, staying on your skates, playing with some physicality, having that bite that I mentioned, we wouldn't be in this position where you'd be having to make a call like this.
Yeah.
And so it's a little too late for me to pivot off of the idea that I don't think that he should be available for the Leafs, or that I believe that they wouldn't be better suited with a more playoff style player. But again, when they're struggling to score and Matthews doesn't look right and Tavares is aging, and it's just, he can break, he's got game breaker qualities. And so for a team that isn't able to score, like, I don't think that it's a, like, as hard line as some of our positions have been with Nick Robertson, and as disappointing as some of the streaks have been, and as hard as we've come down on him as a player, and as much as I don't think that he's ever going to be in like the Berube trust tree, right? Like, he's a mistake away from being back to the 10 minutes a night. God, it's just, it's understandable to be confused. With a game like that.
I don't know. He was just, and he almost scored like a couple of shifts before he sets up the tying goal, where the puck bounces out to him and it's a one timer. And he just, like, he has a millisecond to hit it and he hits it hard, and Swayman traps it, but looks behind him, thinks it's going behind him. Yeah. Like, these three games coming out of the break. I mean, he was good against Chicago. He scored two. Yep. He was noticeable that night. Even the game against Chicago, Carolina,
you don't give as much credit to as, like, not even a banged up Bruins team in a physical game, like in TD Garden. Guys were getting
hammered in that game. Like, multiple guys leave that game hurt, whatever. But yeah, I think he's been really good in the three games coming out of the break here. And depending on which way you look at it, it could be perfect timing for both sides of things.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, that this is still the best timing.
Yeah, that he's just shooting in the net. And he's the reason basically, or one of the reasons, one of the big reasons you win this game tonight. And it's a big 2 points. And I think I saw on the update in the intermission that Florida was winning. So you got to keep pace with them. And, you know, he's a huge reason they win tonight. That play he makes off the glass, where it comes in and he makes a great play, digs it out of his feet, gets it to the front of the net. And Pontus makes a good play to kick it up to his stick and shoot it in. It's all Robertson. He just gets it into an excellent spot. And I've never been as impressed with him as I was tonight. And there's just, it was as good as he looked. So
same.
And there you go, Robertson lovers. I said it.
Well, to kind of close on it too, though, it's like, it is the perfect scenario, because either he is bumping up the trade stock and getting a look from some pro scouts who are like, damn, that looks pretty good. Maybe we are buying low on this player.
You're really hoping it's like the pro scouts, like, after the Four Nations break, we're really going to drill down on the Leafs and send him out to see Nick Robertson, see how he looks. It's like, well, good timing.
Or you have a guy that's coming into his own, doesn't get moved, and it's not the right price. You know what? Like, you know what the difference is for me right now that I actually do feel like the shift is at one point for me, I think you would have moved off of Nick Robertson, period, like just to make roster space for somebody, right? Like that's been the conversation. And now what he's doing to you is being like, hey, meet a price. Like if he's going to be involved in a trade that makes sense for the team, for sure. But it's actually got to be something of note. It's not like the Liljegren move, right? I thought it was a Liljegren move that was going to be coming. Was, hey, change the scenery, give us a pick, get him off the books, get a roster spot for somebody else. And yeah, it's trending towards a little bit the other way. Or again, you get a player who's playing confident heading into the break and who's got fresh legs. I just thought that was it. He had his legs tonight. And credit to Berube, who went to him more, recognized it, gave him those opportunities. And the thing I probably liked the most outside of the play, the game time goal play, was just that there were guys getting in his face. He was like going to the net a couple of times, and the Bruins were trying to intimidate him with their size. And he just looked like a guy who belonged, yapping back and talking trash, and didn't like freeze up and just kind of stare off into space and do the like smile thing that we've seen from some of the smaller Leafs in the past.
Confidence.
I just liked that he was like giving it back and not afraid to mix in a little lumber. I liked it. I liked it for him. So good game. By the way, beautiful feed from Riley to him on his goal.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought Riley was really good offensively tonight, and credit to him. What did he end up playing? Because they went down to 5D, he must have played close to 30 tonight.
He felt like he was on the ice all night in a good
27-39 tonight for him. Yeah. He ends up with 4 points tonight, plus three, two shots on goal, and three block shots tonight, and 27 and 39 for Morgan Riley. There's been, you know, over the weekend, I don't think he was particularly good coming off the break, but if you remember before the Four Nations break on that Western road trip, he was really good. And he was a positive player for them. He shot one in the net against Vancouver, if my memory serves me correctly. He gets another one tonight. I think he's up to 7 here. So good for him. I'm not going to overreact to him having a really good game because, you know, he's had good ones and then a lot of bad ones. But it's a step in the right direction. And, yeah, he was zipping it around tonight. And he gets their first one, which really felt like a big goal towards the end of the second period that kind of gave them hope that they could get back into the game. The guy really wanted – oh, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, though, can I tell you the reason why you can react a little bit to it? It's like very playoffy vibes of like, guys not showing up for a while, and Morgan Riley goes, oh, nobody has it. I'll step up and I'll be one of our best players in a game in, again, Boston.
I thought you meant because he's on the road, so he's away from the 8 children and churning the butter. So I thought he was on the road.
Yeah, he has been away from his kid for a little while. He's actually falling asleep in the hotel room.
Little room service, just sleeping great.
All he has to do is like one FaceTime day, like, oh, hi,
I think
baby's doing good.
I miss you guys so much. Tess, I'm going to tuck in, I think.
It reminds me of that Tom Segura joke where he's like, I lie to my wife every day where he's on the road. He's like, I hate it out here. I miss you so much.
It's a great joke.
That's exactly what he's doing. Okay.
Marner. It's amazing, man. Like, you know, I wouldn't exactly call us Mitch Marner fanboys by any stretch of the imagination. But
it's always funny when people actually hammer you. Like, I'll do no Marner positive talk and I'll throw one little Marner thing out and I get like 8 tweets and some DMs like, you got to stop gassing him up. Like, is it okay?
The Four Nations changing. The Four Nations change things for me. I'll fully say it. I'm a bleeding heart Canadian and we've never had him play for Canada in big games. And that's such a meaningful game to me, that game, and him being so good in that one. And then coming out, he was a little quiet, but seeing him be good again tonight, like it's gone from I never rooted against him, but like, it's not like, it was never like, oh my God, you know, feelings you've had about past Leafs when they score. I got to tell you, him shooting that puck in the net in overtime, it got a little let's go out of me. Got a little clap. I was excited. The perception flip for me has been massive. I know that may be recency bias and crazy, but I love that game tonight.
Like I said, well, I just think that, like, again, it does have to come with playoff success and need to come with a reasonable contract. So I'm just going to isolate it to this game. Like, he's clearly got a little extra pep in his step. He was already playing awesome. Like, what was he, fourth in the league in points, fifth in the league in points in terms like where like heading into the break? So it's not like he was playing poorly. The conversations around Marner were that he was already the team's best player just about on every given night. Like, I think that part of the reason that even the Nylander goal stuff has been a little muted is that it's like, yeah, Marner's still been this team's best player. He's been their most complete player. He had a bad turnover in this game, right? I think it was to, who's the two? Was it to Pasternak? I think it was actually to Pasternak on his own blue line, tries to make like a bit of a cute play, on the but dogs it back and breaks it up with a beautiful back check. And I just thought like there's a couple moments in this game, man, outside of the goal and out like, or the two goals, I guess, like the power play one was beautiful. I do think that the defensemen were kind of like, when's he going to pass it? When's he going to pass it? And then he just ripped it in. It was a beautiful goal. I do love him in overtime because when he gets a breakaway, you and I have both said this, like he and Nylander are the two guys you feel the most confident on the entire team. But just like you watch him throughout the evening and there are just so many little things, the little details to his game right now. He's just dialed, man. Whether it's like keeping a puck in his zone, the way he reads the play, he's just way ahead of everybody else, man. He is dialed. So yeah. Credit to Mitch Marner, because again, on a night where I thought that the Leafs were brutal, he and Morgan Rielly, Nick Robertson, and Stolarz really stepped up, and I couldn't even tell you who the fourth guy was tonight.
Or the fifth guy, sorry. Yeah, no, totally agree, and I just, I guess I'm just in the afterglow of the Canada stuff, but I'm watching him differently. That's all I'll say, and I don't know how long that lasts. Maybe when he's not good in the playoffs, it's the same thing. I'll completely change my tune, which is probably the case, but right now, I'm watching it differently. The reason I said oof during your preamble there was because Luke put in our group here that Tanev, this is from Luke Fox, Tanev leaving TD Garden in a sling will be reevaluated tomorrow. And also I saw that something was bothering William Nylander with kept him out of the overtime session. Tanev is a big worry. That's a big worry. And it was a awkward one. He got pinched. He immediately was hanging. I don't know. Like, I'm not Twitter doctor. I'm not going to speculate. Upper body, obviously, sling, shoulder, arm, shoulder. Whatever. It just, that sucks. That's a big blow. And at least we're scrambling on defense for a lot of this game tonight. Scrambling.
Mm-hmm. Really bad. Listen, man, it's just, McCabe on, it's the same thing. Like, we do this stuff with the guys, like, hey, they can play their opposite side, right? Oh, they you can get away with McCabe doing it, but it's like so much of this McCabe conversation we've had this year feeling like he's this massive steal is he gets to be slotted properly with another stud.
Yeah,
like you move him over to the right and he makes the Pasternak play, and it's a bit of a tricky one. It's like kind of in between. There's nowhere to really kind of go with it. It's David Pasternak bearing down on you.
Like, in that position, he turned back. Like, he had a quick. He could have glassed it and out. He hesitated, tired brain, turned back, and then he fumbles it on the offside. So it wasn't it was not pretty.
It wasn't. But I'm just saying, when you see that, you start to think like, oh right, you don't just lose Chris Tanev when you lose Chris Tanev. You also drop McCabe down a level in terms of what you're expecting from him reasonably.
Yep, absolutely. And we talked about this. I talked about this today I talked about it with you on Leafs Talk the other night, but like, what happens if one of these top four guys go down? You got Benoit going into your top four. You got, so you're going to have a decor on Friday night because, I mean, if he's leaving in a sling, I think it's pretty easy to speculate that he probably won't be playing at Madison Square Garden on Friday night, that you have a decor that has Connor Timmins, Simone Benoit, and Philip Myers in it. And it's like, that's one guy goes out and that's what your decor looks like. You know, it's like they took the shot on Hakanpää, and Hakanpää is never going to play another game for the Leafs. It doesn't feel like, it's like they really need help from outside the organization desperately. So,
well, like, all of a sudden, it also looks like there's potential for the right side of your blue line to be McCabe playing his offside.
Yeah.
Timmins
and Myers.
Yeesh. Yeah. Well, like, yeah.
Scary.
That's ugly.
And you are pretty secure in a playoff spot here, and you don't have to really necessarily worry about that. But the difference between finishing in second or third versus winning that division and not having to battle with one of those damn Florida teams in the first round is massive. And you're not going to accumulate enough points with that decor to get that, right? Yeah. Like, it's, you need to get outside help, because I think they gotta prioritize winning this division, man. Like, yep, they've done the other way enough. You gotta try to play against Detroit or against the Sens or against Columbus or against whoever gets into that bottom spot. You got to do that. And with Myers, Benoit, and Timmins as three of your six, you're probably not going to accumulate enough points to win a division. So
yeah,
it's Brad, you're up, you know, especially after the way they play in that game. They fight back, they get in, they win that game. They need help out, and the trade deadline's coming up. It's a big deadline for True Living, man. It's a winnable division. There's not a ton of great teams. Like, impact is needed.
Well, the big thing for me is the same thing that I've said throughout the entirety of the season, is like, whatever you feel about this Leafs team, they've got goaltending figured out on a different level.
Yeah.
And that they've got this top pairing that is materially different than anything we've ever seen with the core.
Yep.
And you lose Tanev, it's difficult to see. I will say this, like you already said, like we're not the Twitter doctor guys.
No.
But I just, from the look of the play, it's hard for me to imagine, even with the sling, that like a shoulder injury is going to keep him out for.
No, I mean, like, it's not ending his season or anything.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Like, a few weeks, probably, if it's a separated shoulder, right? Isn't that a few weeks kind of thing?
Can I give you also a little bit of conspiracy theory?
Yes, please.
I wondered if Nylander, like, I want to see what the Nylander update is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. His ego was bugging him.
Well, would it have shocked you if he was benched?
No, not at all. But I mean, in 3-on-3, it would have shocked me. Yeah.
Yeah, I get for sure. But if you were ever going to like actually make a statement with stuff, that's sort of where it would be. And you had Robertson going, and you had Nyes, and
even Domi, I think, was +3 tonight and had some good moments outside of this two brain dead penalties that he took. I thought he had some moments. So,
yeah, like it would have been a tough call for Berube to make, especially like you're trying to beat a division rival. You're trying to complete the comeback. You'd be sitting one of your best guys. But at first, I didn't think it was an injury. And do we have a play yet where we saw it? Like, he was grabbing his wrist.
I didn't see anything.
His gloves off. Like,
they didn't show anything on the broadcast, so I'm not sure.
I want to get that, what that update is, because it's like, yeah, I don't know. It just, he was bad. He and Tavares are bad. That line was really bad. I think they got to, I know it's weird because Holmberg has 4 goals in 3 games, but it's like, They got to do something about that. Like, that line can't continue to exist the way that it is. They're just getting caved in.
So last thing, I guess, big picture, and we've been going long tonight, but it was a good game. The Matthews thing, to me, there's really legit concern here for me now, where going into the break, I know you don't think he's hurt.
No, I think he's dinged up. I don't think he's 100%. I don't think he will be all year. Like, I think whatever he was dealing with, like, it's just not, he's not going to be the same guy. But to me, it's like, it's weird. I feel like he looks like out of shape more than anything at times. Like, he, I it's hard for me to watch him play in the Four Nations and play that well with Brady Tkachuk. And I don't know how much, like, you know, adrenaline's pumping through his veins, but he was America's second best player. And so I just think like he's a little tired and he hasn't been able to get quite into game shape this year. And like, he's had a lot of games on the tires when he's had to come back with condensed schedule and wasn't really able to maybe get in the same shape because of the injury. Like, I don't know. I think he's hurt, not injured. Let's put it that way. Like, he's playing.
For sure. But he hit two posts tonight. One on the 2-on-1 off the broken stick by Marchand. Yep. The second one was nice. He made that inside outside move.
At the very end play. Of a super long shift where again, he was gassed.
The face off play was nice, but it's just remarkable that it's the same guy that we've watched in the years past. Like, it's just the presence is not there. And somebody sent me a tweet about how he's accumulated points and he still plays. Like, he is so brilliant and so talented that he still finds a way to accumulate some amount of points that it's not even close to his usual production, but like, I don't know. The intercontinental trip to Germany, the missing multiple times, there's no thought of LTIR for you?
No, because you just said it. They need to try to win the division. And if they don't have Austin Matthews, I know that the record is insane without him. But
for sure. I know. I know, but
and also you and I have talked about this before, man. Like, this is my other conspiracy theory. Like, I think that if all things were equal, if he didn't have the injury going into this season, maybe they would have sat him for a game. But like, again, I just see too many, like, maybe, like, I don't know, maybe the burst isn't quite the same. Like, I see those strides, like, looks fine. Like, I don't know. That looks kind of like Austin Matthews to me. That shot sort of looks like Austin Matthews to me. I agree with you. Like, as the kids would say, the aura has not been the same with him this year. Like, it just hasn't been. Like,
it's just not the same guy, and I don't know what it is.
Yeah, but I have a hard time believing that the Leafs, the most cautious team with him ever, are going to not be sitting him down if they feel like the rest or the recovery was going to be there, outside of the one conspiracy theory thought being he went to the Four Nations, he's the captain mm-hmm. of the team, and it'd be a real tough look if in game three against the Boston Bruins after the Four Nations, he was taking a night off, right?
Yeah, for sure.
But like, I think if there is an injury, the further they get away from the Four Nations, something that they think they need to clean up with time and rest, they're probably going to do it on like what? They've got another just, dude, do you know there's 15 games next month? Yeah.
They play, man. Even this week, it's Friday, Sunday, Monday, yep. Wednesday. Like, it's hockey.
I'm just saying that it'll be interesting. I don't think that this team with this level of a condensed schedule will be pushing him to play every single night if they really think he's like banged up. They'd give him a maintenance day. And so we'll find out. Like, if they start giving him maintenance days, then we know, like, he's not 100%. And I don't think he is 100%. Like, I just don't. I think that he's had to deal with stuff this season. You're right, he's not the same guy, but I'm sorry. You go play for the Four Nations, and you play the way that you did in that game. I'm not giving you excuses, bro. Like, I'm just not playing, yeah, but he's probably hurt. Like, you're the highest paid player on the team. You're the captain. You went to the Four Nations. You captained that team. Play better. Like, I'm not for making sure. Excuses for Austin Matthews.
I would like to say that I'm not making excuses for him either. I just trying to explain why it just looks, you know, half as good as it usually does.
Yeah. I don't know. I also think that this is like a results thing where it's like he scores a couple of goals and everybody starts talking about it a little different. He's in a bit of a slump right now and it could change. Like, I think this is one that could like really turn on a dime. I know it can, because literally we've turned on a dime on Nick Robertson after two good games and one against Chicago. We're like, trade him now? I don't know. Like, maybe not. Maybe get him an amulet. But the powers of the amulet have worn off for John Tavares. I don't know.
He needs a new junk science of some kind to get him going.
I'm just trying to look through my notes here to see if I got anything else. No, I think we covered really everything. Oh, I do want to say, like, just a minor thing. I just love Lorenz's effort. It's just like, find me the shift where he's not just like working his bag off. Yep. It's just
smiling every morning, loves hockey. He's a guy that you can just picture playing in playoff hockey, right?
Yeah.
He'll give you 10 solid minutes in a playoff game, run into somebody, kill penalties, mm-hmm. maybe pick someone's pocket. He's shown a little bit of offensive upside, except for his breakaway attempt at it. Maybe mix in a pump fake or like not just shoot it straight at his chest. But like, he's scored how many has he scored this year? Five or six, like fourth line guy. Yeah. He's just a big lug out there, runs into guys, doesn't take stupid penalties, professional fourth liner, knows he's a fourth liner. Yeah. He's just a passionate guy. A lot of passion.
Yeah, it really is. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at JD Bunkus, at Sammy McKee. You can reach out anytime. We always like the feedback. Thanks to everybody in the chat tonight. That was firing up. I'm curious what the player of the game in the chat was tonight. Marner, 51%.
Yeah.
Who is second? Stolarz?
There is no second. Just Mitch Marner.
Brandon just put Marner. He was like,
Stolarz is second. Good. I think Stolarz, that's fair. Two.
Robertson, 3. Riley, 4.
Probably.
Riley, though, 4 points. Like, just snapped it around, scored a goal. Tough. Like, tough for Morgan Riley to have, like, one of his best games, and maybe he's the fourth guy that we're talking about in this one.
Listen, I did want to mention.
Yeah.
Oliver Ekman-Larsson hates the Bruins.
Big time.
And he was all over everybody tonight. Yeah. And I forgot to tell Luke to clip it, but Poitras, he was running his mouth. He was running them his mouth the whole 51 in black and yellow. He was running his mouth the entire game, and Oliver Ekman-Larsson caught him with a heavy hit right at center ice. Caught him with his head down. Guy was like, and he just didn't really say much after that. So Oliver Ekman-Larsson.
Well, he was trying to make it chippy early too.
He's a greasy son of a gun. Nasty piece of business, as you'd say. And I like him having him in games like this because he's not afraid to mix it up. Yeah, he was particularly greasy tonight. Seems to really hate the Bruins. And I like that about him.
Guys, something you want the wildest stat of the
game. He was a +3 tonight, 2 assists for Oliver Ekman-Larsson. So yeah. Good for him. Good night.
The wildest stat in the game, just to kind of close out the Robertson thing in terms of like whether or not you keep him or whether he's on the trade block. It's like you just said that was his best game as a Leaf. How many minutes do you think he played?
11 and a half.
Yeah, 12. Yeah. Yeah. You still got 12 minutes.
He always plays 12, regardless like, of how good or bad game, he is. He's getting 12.
But it's like this game went to overtime and he got shifts. It's like still 12 minutes. It's best game ever. Most notable game ever. And Brube was like 12. 12 minutes, buddy.
You get 12. Marner, 28.
Yeah, like, something to be said for that. Anyways, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Subscribe to the podcast. Leave a thumbs up on YouTube. Leave a comment. Reach out anytime. We'll see you on, what is it today?
Friday against the Rangers
and Sunday. Yeah, a little double dip weekend.
Yeah. Hey, Saturday night off for the boys. That's nice.
Yeah, nasty work. All right, we'll see you then.